You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, covering down solid conservative and just plain right. Well, hey, listen, we are glad you are here. It is a full-on day right now. We've got, man, we got a lot of stuff laid on for this show today. And main thing right now is that Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
I'm here.
Yes,
hey,
you are.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, he's like Yogi Bear over here. All right, man, you doing good?
I'm good. It's pretty. Oh. Man, I'll tell you this. It is pretty outside. I got to go to a baseball game last night, and guess what? I get to go to another one tonight.
It's not just any baseball game.
Oh, it's little dudes.
This is big league little dudes.
Big league little dudes.
So does he chew big league chew? Does he keep some of that big league chew bubble gum in his pocket?
Any type of bubble gum he likes, but no, he does not yet. I have not taught him the ways of the big league chew.
Big league chew,
because
awesome.
It would be big league in his mouth.
I mean, oh yeah. Just a pinch between the cheek and gums. That big league chew, though. I actually carried some of that overseas with me. I love that stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet that got you through some good times.
Yeah. Or
some
hairy
times. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey, we're glad you guys are with us. It is going to be a great show. Coming up at 3 o'clock today, Scott Buttram, who's the editor of the Trustful Tribune, is going to be on to talk with us about several things, one of which is a good one and one of which is not so good. But Scott Buttram at 3 o'clock today. He always provides great content, and I look forward to having him on with us. Stay tuned for that one. And then we got this whole triple dipper, so hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, you've got to know as we run today's show. Number one, coming out the gate, we got to talk about this horrible situation that happened in Dadeville, Alabama. We spent a lot of time talking about the Chattanooga shooting, and I wanted to wait a couple of days to see how the storyline was going to develop because there's so little information. Well, we got something to work with now, but not a lot. But the Dadeville, Alabama shooting, in which four people died and 32 were injured, we're going to talk about that first out the gate on the Triple Dipper, and Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune will be calling in to talk about it as well and see if he's uncovered any new additional details. So, yeah, Dadeville shooting, number one, Triple Dipper. And then number two, got to do it. Got to do it. You know the deal. I go through resourcing the show, and at some point I'm like, look at that wokeness. Oh, my gosh, that's the most woke thing I've ever seen. How did that get so woke? And next thing you know, I have a veritable buffet, a cornucopia, a plethora, if you will, of wokeness. And so we're going to be doing Adventures in Woke World, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, did you see the interview last night with Elon Musk on the Tucker Carlson show? Wow. So, like, wow. Artificial intelligence is pretty freaking scary. How many movies have they made about artificial intelligence trying to wipe out the human race? Well, you got Elon Musk saying he could see it happening. That's not encouraging. Anyway, number three on the Triple Dipper, though, we're going to examine what it's actually doing to the arts, to creativity, to the literal expression of things that seem to always have been like the epitome of creativity in the human mind are now being taken over by artificial intelligence. So number three on the Triple Dipper, Skynet is killing the arts is what I've got it down as. Skynet killing the arts. Somebody please unplug this thing. Well, let me jump over to my comments here, and I'll tell you, this is a sobering message that I'm about to give. Because it can be very sobering when one generation watches another one do some of the same things, right? I've told you all before, my family has been generationally an Army family. I don't remember a time when there wasn't an Army post or a deployment or some aspect of Army life in and around me. My grandfather, a retired general, he wore glider wings on his uniform and a combat patch from the 18th Airborne Corps. I didn't really appreciate what that meant until much later when I went through training to become a paratrooper myself. At Airborne School at Fort Benning, they instilled in you not only the skills to jump out of perfectly good airplanes and properly land, but also the history of what we were stepping into. We heard stories about World War II era paratroopers and glider riders, and it dawned on me that was my grandfather. So I asked him one day after seeing one of those flimsy gliders in the museum what it was like to be one of the glider troops. And he said, boy, it was the most god-awful thing man ever invented. But I also remember the day of our first jump at airborne school. The company commander was a veteran of one of the only combat jumps from Vietnam with the 173rd Airborne Brigade. He very proudly wore his combat jump wings, and he told us how the 3rd Herd had jumped into a place called Dak To and smashed the enemy. He told us that we were the next step in the airborne legacy, and that while he hoped that we would never have to carry those silver wings into battle, that he expected us to be ready if and when the call came to stand in the door, put our knees to the breeze, and jump in to smash the enemies of our country. And then, I'll never forget this, he pulled out a Bible, and he began to read to us from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And he read that, quote, there's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. And he closed that reading at verse 8, which ends with a time for war and a time for peace. It was not at all, by the way, a warmongering speech, not by a stretch. And it was not at all a selective use of Scripture. He was making the case that we can never predict the times fully and that we can never expect that a day of peace will always last forever. And yes, that there is a time to build. Well, a few years later, I was a young lieutenant. I remember riding down the road with my father. He himself was a retired Army officer with multiple tours in Vietnam. And I remember asking him, do you think there'll ever be a time that I go to war? It was a very simple but yet very profound question. I mean, like anyone who's ever trained for something hard and sacrificed to reach certain levels, you want to know that you're in some way equal to the task, but you also hope you never have to find out. So yeah, I asked my dad, the man who I had watched serve all my life, and he very simply said to me this, and it's profound. He said, son, there's never been an American generation that didn't experience war. About 12 years later, I was riding horses in Afghanistan. Another decade after that, I pinned airborne wings on my own son at Fort Benning. Proof that there is indeed a time for war and a time for peace. But looking back at that passage in Ecclesiastes again, verse 3 says that there is a time to build. And I would suggest that the time to build for what is needed during the time of war is during the time of peace. And yet the U.S. is notorious for entering a war without what it needs because it spent more of its peacetime downgrading its military capabilities. It defies logic, really. It certainly defies history. I mean, time and again, the U.S. has marched to war, often in a reactionary way, without the basic functions, training, or weapons and materiel that it needed. In the wake of World War II, the massive drawdown occurred, and then the communists crossed over the parallel into South Korea, and we had men who didn't even have field uniforms and proper weapons facing mass charges. In Vietnam, we found ourselves facing an enemy unlike anything we had ever experienced and had to adapt and overcome to learn a whole new way of fighting and realize that even things like jungle boots needed to be invented. Post-Vietnam, my father then lived through the Carter era in what he called the Hollow Army. Just a shell of itself, as Carter's role in the White House seemed to be more of the time to tear down and less about the time to build. And thus, the first efforts at expeditionary warfare right after that were fraught with trouble, like Operation Eagle Claw to rescue the Iran hostages, or the invasion of Grenada, or later on, the invasion of Panama. And then 9/11 happened. And once again, the U.S. was figuring out what its deficiencies were and trying to figure out what the lessons learned were from past conflicts so that we could now fight a strange new war in a corner of the globe that most didn't even know existed until we got there. You push through that into the years in Iraq and the return to Iraq and the fight with ISIS, and answer me this, are we right now in a time of peace? Well, technically, we aren't in a large-scale mobilization right now, right? We got pockets of troops in harm's way, and God bless them. But as a nation, we do not find ourselves currently on a serious war footing. And yet, once again, in the interim between a time for peace and a time of war, we find the U.S. seems to be tearing down instead of building up. And we'd better get our game face on because China is just over the horizon. And I will not be surprised to find, in my dad's words, that every generation of Americans has known a time of war may be true once again. And yet, inexplicably, we find ourselves with recruiting at 40-year lows, with readiness being questioned by experts like the Heritage Foundation, with forced modernization for equipment and weapons stymied in favor of green energy compliance and social justice and military abortions and transgender therapies. My God, this is not just scaling back. At this point, it truly feels like the Biden administration has consciously made this era into a time to tear down. but China's not playing. They are the heavyweight bully on the playground. Iran, they're the sneaky backstabber that would love nothing more than to strike a blow and run. Russia's desperate. They're barely hang on to its former glory as the world's counterweight to the U.S., and yet they are nuclear still. And fundamentalist whack jobs like ISIS, the Taliban, and even Al-Qaeda, they all still exist, and they see the U.S. as their quickest ticket to a martyr's paradise. Any and all of them see the U.S. homeland, the homeland, actually right here, CONUS, the United States, as the target, as opposed to the U.S. having to travel afar to meet them in battle. So here's the deal. This should be a time for building, a time for catching up on lost capabilities, expanding operational reach, and gathering up the assets to protect the U.S., its allies, and its interests. But instead, the Biden administration is openly and inexplicably determined that climate change is the existential threat to America. Well, in paratrooper language, they better get their heads out of their fourth point of contact, and they better do it soon. Because there is a time for everything, and a season under the heavens. And every generation has known a time for war, so let's use this time to build. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I am absolutely, without a doubt, not a war hawk. Those who have been to war don't want to see war come back. But I'm going to tell you right now, I am somebody who believes absolutely that you build when you have the opportunities. Because if you don't build when you have the opportunities, then you're in catch-up mode later on, because there is going to be another time when you need it. So, yeah, Biden administration needs to get its head out of its fourth point of contact. And if you have to Google that, go ahead. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I find myself on that particular bump, Boomer, just sitting there because I want to listen to it for a second.
Just waiting a little bit. You're just letting it play out.
Just let a little Black Crows go on just for a second.
No.
So do I need to explain to the audience about the fourth point of contact?
You may need to. I enjoy listening to the description of it.
The jargon.
I had an idea, but the description of it, because of what it was great.
All right. So here's the reality, and it's Army slang, and so the end result is, if you've ever been to airborne school, at some point the black hats, who are the instructors, are going to be yelling at you, airborne. You better get your head out your fourth point of contact. Get on there and do it right now. Get on the front lean and rest. Do some push-ups. Anyway. So the fourth point of contact, when they teach you how to land at airborne school, you're coming down to what's called a PLF, a parachute landing fall. Picture trying to land like a banana, you know, the bottom of the banana, and then it kind of rolls in a half arc, and you hit different points of contact. If you do it, and they grade you on this, man. I mean, we literally spent 2 weeks doing nothing but learning how to land. Over, and we had the swing landing trainers, we had to jump off of platforms, we had, you know, just... You would be so sore because you're literally jumping and dropping and rolling.
Creating constantly. That muscle memory.
Muscle memory. Oh, it's exactly right.
Yeah.
There you go. But anyway, so the fourth point of contact. First point of contact, balls of the feet. Second point of contact, the calves. The next third point of contact is your thighs. And the fourth point of contact is the buttocks, which you have to yell out when they're saying, and the buttocks. And then, you know. So anyway, multiple points of contact.
I like it.
Get your head out your fourth point of contact. Yeah, there you go. You've now all. So what's going to happen now is some listener, some right side ruffians out there are going to tell somebody, "Where? Get your head out your fourth point of contact," and everybody's going to stare at him like, "What did you just say to me?
What? What are you talking about?" You're like, "You should listen to Right Side Radio. You'll know."
Same look I got from Boomer a few minutes ago. text lines are open 833-687-4448. It's 833-68 right. Text it on in. Call it on in if you want to. But if you text in for the very first time, like one of our brand new listeners, Peggy from Cahaba Heights, But if you're texting it for the very first time, then text the word right side, and it'll give you an automatic message back, like, you know, hey, you right side ruffian, tell us your first name and where you're from, and then we will plug you into the system with all these scads, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that are now in our texting system.
So many.
If they all text at one time, we're in trouble.
Very much so. And we are at 136,000 downloads.
Shut my mouth. No, don't shut my mouth. I have a radio show. Yeah. 136,000 downloads.
136,000.
Broadcasting here from the redesigned Right Side Studios.
Ooh.
Remember, we got a notion to rearrange the furniture. It looks good.
Just rearrange it so we can see each other.
That's what it's all about. I need to, but it does look great, man. It really does.
Nice.
I walked in the day and it kind of caught me like, ah. That does look good. Couple of texts already in. Robert from Madison heard the monologue. He said, let's go lick the world. I think that was actually exactly what President Biden said for some odd and unknown reason in his speech in Ireland the other day. Everybody's like, what did he say? Anyway, yeah. Who knows? He was probably thinking of ice cream. Brian from Huntsville regarding the monologue says, yep, Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. Says, I hope Boomer has the birds turn, turn, turn lined up. There was actually a song, 1965, the birds made a song out of, in fact, if you look at the credits on their song, it credits the author to the book of Ecclesiastes. To everything, turn, 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 there is a season. I'm off key, but anyway. Phil, don't go on there and sing. You'll lose listeners. All right. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, you're still using that inappropriate word. It's not Biden administration. It's the Biden cacistocracy. Come on, man. Jeff, hope your wife's doing well, by the way. I know she had an episode yesterday, so anyway, good to hear that Jeff's out and about and on the road, I guess. Tony from Russellville, he says, wow, pass the plate on that opening monologue. Can I get a good amen? He says, I fear Biden's handlers have the United States right where they want it. It's amazing how our citizens, our politicians, want the U.S. to fail. Back in the day, they would not hold those elected positions. Some of them certainly would not, sir. And I find myself wondering how some of them do still. There's some good ones up there. We have more veterans, by the way. We have more veterans in the Senate and House than we've ever had, maybe ever in the history of the United States. I'll take it back. Probably not the history of the United States, but still in a long, long time. John from Huntsville says, great monologue. I think all those Democrats talking about climate change is a big old pile of jackassery. Are we coining new phrases on here? I think we are.
I think that's what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
We got lots of new phrases.
We got ruffian vernacular.
You know, soon we're going to have our own, like, vocabulary. And we're going to send it to all the Democrats out there that have the woke vocabulary.
The glossary of terms. The glossary of right side terms.
The glossary, yes.
That's right. Bob from Decatur. I love that bump. He said, I like that bump music. Also, every time I hear it, it makes me think of the little, I'm trying to figure out. I don't know what it's saying here. Somebody sang that song. I don't know who it was. All right, anyway. And then Adam from Decatur says, I love you, Corn Pops. Corn Pops a bad dude, man. Had a chain.
That's
right. Go lick the world. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.